Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Matt, in your book, The Life We Chose, you describe sort of the evolution of the mob families in that part of Pennsylvania. And these mob bosses who emerged and rose to prominence, say, in the early 1900s in these Italian communities, places like Scranton and Pittston, they weren't exactly folk heroes or benefactors or protectors. They exploited the hell out of other Italians. The Italian coal miners you write about, they extorted small businesses. I mean, they were bad guys. It was only much later that somebody like Russell Bufalino becomes sort of admired, feared, but admired, correct?
Yeah, they were brutal to the local communities in the early 1900s, mostly through the mines, the coal mines there. They would took over the unions. They ran all the unions there, all the coal unions. And then if anyone ever pushed up against them, then you'd see a lot of violence. Then, of course, came bootlegging in the 1920s. It was very, very violent at that time. It wasn't until later, when Russell took over in the late 1940s. Now, don't get me wrong, they were still brutal and violent. In fact, Russell was described in 1962 or 63 by a U.S. Senate committee as being one of the most powerful and violent members of organized crime in the country. So Russell had and did his own share of violence, too. But there were a million stories of just kindnesses that, you know, from Russell, whether it would be helping out a business or even just helping out a neighbor fix a roof or give them the money to do something like that. So they did become sort of like folk heroes more towards the 50s and 60s.
So there's Big Billy in his teens seeing Russell Bufalino and his associates driving great cars, living a good life. They're big shots. He comes to admire that, right?
Billy does get into... As you read in the book, you see this transformation. There were really two parts to Billy's story. One was initially the first 10 years or so where he's an observer. He's just at Russell's hip, and he's watching everything. And then when Russell goes to prison in the late 1970s, that's when Billy becomes a participant. And that's when his power and his influence grows. And we see Billy in, you know, a number of different scenes with a number of different people, you know, including Donald Trump, of all people.
Right.
But it was through his relationship with Russell that led to those moments. And Billy did, you know, the thing for Bill, there were two things. Was A, the relationship with Russell and the world that Russell opened up for him. And it was this incredible world where you are meeting celebrities, you're meeting athletes, you're meeting politicians. It's a world he never, ever, ever would have been privy to had it not been for Russell.
Can you describe the rise of Buffalino in the Mafia, how it is that he came to know all these key players all over the country? I guess from the early days of bootlegging is where he made the associations with a lot of the ones who became prominent Mafia bosses.
Yeah, he did. So Russell was very, very smart. The one thing I've always heard about Russell was he was a brilliant man, and he probably, actually, most likely would have been accomplished in any sort of business or industry he had set his mind to. In this case, he happened to be a member of organized crime. But he was very smart, knew how to handle people, and even though, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the flashier parts of life in that world, you know, Russell was very low-key. His house, I did all the interviews with Billy in Buffalino's old house in Kingston, Pennsylvania. When Russell died in 94, his wife died in 2006. When she passed away, she left the house to Billy's son, who happens to be named Russell. And so we ended up doing every single interview in the old Buffalino home. And it's just, it's a ranch-style home in a nondescript neighborhood in Kingston, Pennsylvania. And it's actually, it looks as if it looks like it did back in the 1970s with the furniture and whatnot. It's like a museum piece right now. But Russell was not showy. He lived by that code. He tried to instill that in Bill. And Bill ended up living in the same house. He's still in the same house that he's lived in for about 40 years.
That's amazing. So from what you describe in this book, I know you wrote on a whole other book about Buffalino, but he had his fingers in a lot of different businesses, what appeared to be legit businesses that also became fronts for other things that he was doing. Can you describe some of those?
He was big. Well, obviously he was big in things like gambling. He was also big, though, in northeastern Pennsylvania in dress manufacturing. He owned the factories that made the dresses for the New York companies. You know, Russell spent 4 days a week in New York. He had an apartment in New York that he maintained for many, many years. And so he had his hands not just in dress manufacturing, he had his hands in jewelry. He had his hands in loan sharking. He had his hands in many businesses. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, he had his hands in the Teamsters Union. But Russell was also known as, you know, the mob's negotiator, which was a title that Billy picked up later, where Russell would be called in to settle all kinds of disagreements, but not just on the East Coast, but also on the West Coast, in the South, in Florida. He spent a lot of time down in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. He had two houses down there.
And Cuba.
And in Cuba in the 1950s, his situation in Cuba, when Cuba was taken over by Castro, Russell had fled and he left behind $1 million. And it was that $1 million that set the stage for his recruitment, as I write in a book, by the CIA in these so-called mafia plots that later came to play a role in the disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa.
You know, I didn't know until reading this book that these mob guys, Buffalino, had given financial support to Castro. I know that they had, you know, I knew that historically they had sort of sealed their fate by siding with Batista, but I didn't know they gave financial support to Castro as sort of to cover their bases in case he took over.
I didn't realize that either. I had heard of it. I didn't realize just how deeply that went. Russell had been close to Batista, and he had been so close to him that he would bring Batista's kids up to Pennsylvania for the summer under his protection. But when things went south for Batista, they did play the other side with Fidel, and not just with money, but with arms. There are scenes in the book where There were arms that were going heading to Cuba from Pittsburgh. You know, Russell had deep ties in Pittsburgh, friends there. So, but of course, Castro was playing with the mob too and had no intentions of ever letting them get their casinos back, which led to all kinds of turbulence in the late 50s, early 1960s.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yeah, this imagery is right out of Godfather 2. So the real-life guys, Meyer Lansky, Mo Dalitz, Santos Traficante, Carlos Marcello, all those guys have interest in those casinos. And it was like a gold mine. It was perfect for them. And then they lose it all. And it leads to all kinds of plots and conspiracies that came to bite everyone. Castro becomes a target of CIA plots to murder him. And the mob gets involved. And can you describe some of that?
So Russell, the CIA learned that Russell had left behind $1 million when he fled in 1959. And they are in the midst of their plans. You know, the CIA at that time was just a rogue agency that took orders from no one. And so they had recruited two sets of organized crime figures. But in this case, they had reached out to Jimmy Hoffa, because they knew Hoffa was friends with Bufalino. And it was Hoffa who reached out to Bufalino, and Bufalino agreed to help them. Basically, his help was in terms of surveillance and helping them with geography and roads, but it was supposedly for the assassination of Fidel Castro as well as the Bay of Pigs invasion. And when the Bay of Pigs invasion ended the way it did, members of organized crime, people like Russell, were furious because they were printing money in Cuba. It was a gold mine, and they had lost it, and they felt that they were going to get it back, and they didn't. So they were very angry, very angry. And it did set the stage for a lot of speculation, you know, with the assassinations of the Kennedy brothers and who was involved and was the mob involved. And Billy and I talked about it, and Billy did have some answers to this. It wasn't necessarily definitive enough for me to want to include it in a book. You know, unless he knew exactly who the shooters were, I wasn't really going to put it in anyway. I didn't want to, because the book was so rich, I didn't want to take away from it.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to I didn't want people looking at it and go, oh, there's just another conspiracy theory.
Yeah, well, I did want to ask you about that. I couldn't imagine that you would avoid that conversation. Did you have to approach that kind of gingerly?
No, we were just talking about it, and he had answers for it. And I just, you know, which may come out at another time. It's not, they're not definitive, but it does side with one particular theory involving the mob. And so it was interesting, but it wasn't, I just did not feel comfortable with including it in the book. I mean, the book, I wanted the book to be more about his firsthand accounts, his, what he saw, what he did, which is, you know, how the book basically rolls out. And this was more about things that, some other things that Russell had spoken to him about. You have to remember also, these weren't like conversations that he would have it with Russell, especially in the beginning. You never ask questions. You know, if you're riding with Russell, he's driving Russell in the car, and you never ask questions about business. If Russell wants to tell you something, he will tell you something. You know, it became much later on where those conversations became more two-way conversations.
You do touch on sort of the plots to kill Castro and how the CIA did recruit the mob to do this. There were some meetings, I've reported on them myself, meetings here in Las Vegas set up by a guy named Robert Mayhew, who used to work with the FBI, and Sam Giancana, Johnny Roselli, where they got together here and started talking about how to do it. And then it almost gets into comedy about some of the attempts that were made on Castro's life and how they tried to make his beard fall out and poison his food, and none of those ever happened, and it raises a lot of speculation of whether those attempts on Castro might have inspired Castro or the mob itself to go ahead and kill JFK, RFK. We do know that Johnny Roselli got killed, Sam Giancana got killed. Do you think that was because they knew about these various plots and they might spill the beans?
So this takes us to 1975 and Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance. In the Church Committee, the Senate Committee that was investigating these CIA mafia plots, you know, up until June 75, you know, Hoffa had wanted to take over his union again after getting out of prison in 71, and he and Russell had been very, very good friends, and Russell and others told Hoffa to sit back, don't do it, because the mob, the union was in different hands right now, and everyone, meaning the mobsters, were comfortable with it. They didn't want Hoffa to come back, but Hoffa insisted. And so it was Russell that kept Jimmy Hoffa alive because other people wanted him gone. But it was in June of 1975 when Time magazine outed Russell with a story about his involvement in these CIA mafia plots that were being investigated. And it was the first time Russell had been connected to them publicly. And so what happened within almost rapid fire was 2 weeks after Russell was outed by Time magazine, Sam Giancana disappears, Jimmy Hoffa disappears 4 weeks later, and then the following year, Johnny Roselli disappears. And so I talked to Billy about it, and, you know, we talked about what happened with Hoffa, and, you know, there was a meeting that he had gone to, and who was involved in that meeting. And I said to him, and to this day he loves Russell. And I said, was Russell involved in any of this? And his first reaction would be no. And then when I pushed a little bit, I'm like, well, could these guys have done anything regarding Hoffa or anyone else if Russell didn't give his blessing? And they said no. So Russell had to be involved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah. There's no way that the mob kills Hoffa without Russell Bufalino signing off on it.
Correct. Because of just how close they were. And more importantly, because of how powerful Russell was. But the what I did learn and what's in the book was the person who was the source for these stories about Russell being involved in the CIA mafia plots was a former CIA agent who leaked the information to Time magazine as well as to a newspaper up in Northern California. And I did speak to the reporter who wrote that story. And you know, he told me who his source was, and I was kind of blown away. I didn't realize it was a CIA source that gave him that information.
So the other mob guys that got rubbed out, they weren't the leak.
Yeah, well, Russell thought he was going to be subpoenaed, and we also spoke to a member, one of the surviving members of the church committee investigation team, and they said that Russell was not going to, from what he could remember, Russell wasn't going to be subpoenaed. So Russell basically was acting with caution. He, you know, it wasn't that he knew he was going to be subpoenaed. He thought he was going to be, but at the end of the day, he wasn't going to be.
I can see somebody saying, well, why take a chance if these guys?
Well, yeah. Well, that's how they thought in those days. Why take a chance? And that's basically how they lived. So it was fascinating in terms of how Billy described things. It was fascinating in terms of learning who some of these other sources were that I didn't know about. And it draws a really full picture in terms of, or fuller picture. We don't know who pulled the trigger to kill Jimmy Hoffa, but we do know now who ordered it, in that it was Tony Provenzano and Anthony Salerno from New York with the blessing of Russell Bufalino. And we also know who didn't kill Jimmy Hoffa, which was Frank Sheeran, according to Billy, because according to Bill, that was complete fiction, and Bill actually had proof of that.
Yeah, I think we have about 2 minutes before we go to a break, so I want to jump into the Irishman, the Frank Sheeran story, because we've covered it here on this program before, but we don't have time to do it. I do want to ask you about the portrayal of Russell Bufalino in The Irishman, other than the murder of Hoffa, because I would think he came off pretty well in that. I mean, as a man who had wisdom and was respected, I would think that part of the portrayal would have been okay with Big Billy.
Yeah, Billy didn't necessarily have any issues with the performance. What he did have an issue with was how Russell was perceived. He didn't come off as being this all-powerful boss. He kind of came off as being almost an underling to some of the other bosses, like in Philadelphia and in New York, and that grated on Bill. But the thing that really bothered him the most was Frank Sheeran and Frank Sheeran's story. You know, that was something that he very much wanted to set the record straight on.
You write in your book about one point the feds, some documents that they had where they described Bufalino as an underboss to one of the other mob guys, which really grated on everybody who knew him.
Yeah, even law enforcement didn't get it right, as you see in the book, and they didn't get it right for many, many years. And it's just a testament to the mob being able to keep some things quiet and secretive. It's very hard trying to pierce that world. But as far as, you know, they were successful in some areas with some families, but with the Bufalinos, there was never any definitive information, and frankly, this is really the first time we get to see what was going on with that family.
A lot of great information. First time I've heard a lot of this stuff. In The Life We Chose by Matt Birkbeck, about the last secrets of America's most powerful mafia family.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
she's breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.